Wow. Well, welcome to Believer's Chapel, man. Pumped that you were with us this morning. Man, I hope you were blessed in worship. That's just a powerful time. And we are going to get into this. We're in this series called Up Close and Personal. This is, again, we are talking about praise this morning and giving thanks. And what is the fruit of our lips? What is it that comes out of our mouth? And I'm telling you, what God says about it is it should be that which is of thanksgiving, that which is giving praise to Him. And we're going to go over this morning, and we're going to cover this. We're going to do something that we normally do not do. I usually have you turn to two places, but we are going to do some biblical aerobics this morning, and we're just going to flip-flop and go so many different places in the Psalms, and we're going to go through this because I want you to see a biblical picture and a biblical pattern of how God says He desires to be worshipped and thanked and praised. Now listen, please hear this. I want you to see why we do what we do here in this church. We have people from so many different backgrounds. We have people from so many different ministries. We have people from so many different type of denominations that come into Believer's Chapel. And man, we are at a point right now that we just continue to see growth, and we just continue to see people coming in. I mean, we're like a melting pot, man. We've got people from all kind of, from no church at all, from atheist, agnostic, to coming in and hearing the truth about God and all of His creation and what He's done for them. And then, you know, from all kind of different walks of life, from all kind of different denominations. It's just been amazing to see God allow us to be melted all together as one big deal here at Believer's Chapel. But I want you to see, not knowing your background or where you've been, and why we do what we do in our celebration, in our time of song with our instruments, in our time of our voices, in our time of hands extended, in a time of our face before the Lord. Why is it that we do that? And I think there's very validation in explaining to you biblically what you see here is what God says. Listen, I'm not here to hit any other denomination at all. I'm not here to say what they do or what they don't do is yes or no. That's not for me. I'll tell you what, I grew up in a church in Elford until I was 11 years old. Mom and Dad started a church in their house, grew into Elford Elman Bible Church, powerful church still today. And it started in their home. Dad laid the first bricks to their building. Amazing church. Came to here when I was 11. Mom and Dad bought a bookstore. I mean, you know, my dad was the head coach at Elford University of soccer and lacrosse. And you got three boys who are athletes, and he buys a bookstore. We had the field, we had the balls, we had the lacrosse sticks, man, we had the socks. It was awesome. The team would come over for dinner. It was great. And then he buys a bookstore. Like, Dad, that's wrong direction, man. Books, we don't read, Dad. What are you doing? Come on. Anyways, bought a bookstore, God's direction. And that was the right direction. And then we get involved in a Baptist church locally. And then we get out of the Baptist church and we go into another non-denominational Baptist church. And then I go to college. And again, nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything about that at all. But then I go off to college and I come back to college and I come to Dad, who owns a Christian book. He knew every pastor and every Christian known to mankind on this side of the world, man. It was bad growing up. It was not good. Where everybody, do you know what your son did? It was, you narcs. It was terrible. You couldn't get, he wasn't the pastor of a church. He knew every pastor and everybody who ever went to church, in all churches. It was terrible growing up. Do you know what you say? I saw Sean do this, and I, like, you people are babies. Now quit getting me in trouble. Come on. It was terrible. But anyway, so he knew everybody. So I said, Dad, man, I need something else. I can't go back there. God, I need something else, Dad. And Sean, there's a new church. You got to check it out. It's called the Raymer Christian Fellowship with a new pastor. And he says, I'm hearing some good things. So here, me and Renee, this is over 20 years ago. Me and Renee, we go in, and I tell you what, we walk in, and it's during the worship, and it's during their singing and praising, and these people are excited. They're raising their hands. They're clapping. They've got drums. I was told, drums are of the devil. You can't beat on anything. Guitars are just sinful. So I'm seeing these sinful people playing guitars and banging on the drums and cymbals and people raising their hands, and I thought, what is my dad thinking? I mean, what? He sent me here. Does he know what's taking place? I mean, I went to a church, you raise your hand, everyone stares at you like, you got to go to the bathroom or what, you know. It's not, no. The dude in the brown suit comes over and says, no, man, that's we don't do that here. But then the pastor started teaching on praise, and he started teaching on worship from this point of view, not man point of view. And then, you know, I started to walk in this place of what worship really is and what it is to really extend my hands in great, amazing praise to bless God and thank, to be amazed at what God has done for me. How do I, when you come to grips with sin, salvation, when I've come to Christ and all that God did is love, I was at a point, how could I not worship Him and praise Him? How can I not continually be amazed at what God has done? And there was something in me, I'm still not sure if it was sin or if I was wrong, but I became upset. For 21 years of my life, nobody told me this. How could they skip over a whole book of Psalms? How could no one teach me or show me that there is freedom in worship and there is freedom in praise and there is a biblical way to express our thanks? Yet no one told me for 21 years. And I would go to my uncle's church in Syracuse, and it was more free. It was like this, very much like this, called Believer's Chapel. That's kind of where we're not under them by any means. We just got their name because of my uncle started that church, Uncle Paul. And man, he would understand worship, and he would understand praise, and he grew up in the same background I did. And I'm thinking, man, he's the most powerful preacher I know. There's something to this. And then through biblical education, and through a pastor who understood and wasn't afraid to teach. I mean, there was something in me go, what? How come no one told me this before? How come they look at you funny when you get excited about Jesus? How come they look at you weird when you raise your hand? How come it's just down in play? And I'm just like, I still don't understand that. Now that I have a clear, I just don't get it. And then to know that God is the one who wrote this, and He explains to us how we are to come to a pattern of being thankful. And I'm not saying everybody here is going to shout and everybody here is going to raise your hand because that's. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying everyone here ought to be thankful because that's what God says. So this isn't a message on, well, you have to raise your hands if you're going to be thankful. That's not true. Well, you have to shout if that's not true. Well, you have to kneel. That's not true. You have to do that to be thankful. That's not true. I'm saying there is a biblical pattern to that, but the fact is that we all are continually and to always be thankful from the inside out. That's the deal. Please know that. That's the deal. Let's ask God to speak to us this morning. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this morning. God, I'm asking that You would speak to us. God, this is real. This is truth. God, I'm asking that You would speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I hope and pray that You are honored in our time of worship and praise of You. God, that You receive that as a sacrifice of praise. And God, that you were truly acknowledged in this place as the one who we love and serve and honor and adore and lift Your name above every name. God, that is all sincere and true. And I hope that it was from every one of our hearts, God, with just true authenticity. Now, Father, I'm asking that You speak to us this morning from Your word. Speak to us, God. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to hear what we need to hear from Your word. We come, God, with an ear to hear. We come with an eye to see. We come with our heart open to receive. And folks, I ask that You would ask God, God, speak to me today. I'm here on purpose. God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to share something that's kind of deep. Not on this topic, but it happened last night at this wedding. And there's times that God just opens your eyes to things. There are times that you are very much reminded that there's evil in this world. And here we were at the wedding, after the wedding reception, and then it was getting dark, and we started to clean up, taking the tent down, all this stuff. They had those, you ever see those Chinese balloons where you light the flame, right, and it goes, I think those are the most dangerous from China, folks. They want to blow our houses up. Let's light this fireball and let it go up in the air. And if it lands on a house, so well. I mean, it's just like that. I mean, whose idea thinks that's a good idea? From I don't think they like us very much. So let's come up with these fire bombs. It'll be perfect. That's just my thought. But it was by the lake, so they'd sink in the ocean. It was fine. But anyways, we're watching this, and it's cool, and we're cleaning up. And then with John and Naomi, they love Jesus, and they're involved in Geneseo and the different ministries. And there was several different ministers there, which was great. And I met one at the very end, And he came up to me. It was dark. We couldn't see. And he's talking about the ceremony and the service and the message. And just, we got to talk and our wives were there. And it was, we had an amazing time of encouraging one another, talking about Jesus, talking about forgiveness, talking about how great God is and what he's done. I mean, we're just going, we're boasting about the cross back and forth. Then it was intense. It was awesome. We were laughing about just how great our, and then there's this gentleman that had nothing at all to do with the wedding, the ceremony, uninvited, nothing. And he's standing there. I didn't even see how he got there. And he comes walking over and he starts questioning me. He says, your voice is intriguing. I'm like, well, that's weird. All right. And then he starts, well, I've heard your conversation. And I, and here, you know, at first, the evangelist comes out in me. Man, oh, great opportunity. He's over here and he's talking about Jesus and cross and forgiveness and heaven and hell. I mean, we had it all. It was two believers just going at it. It was incredible. And he overheard all of it. So I'm thinking, oh, evangelist shows up. And I start evangelizing. I said, man, tell me, what's your faith? And I start asking him questions. And then one thing that I pray every day, God, open my eyes to see what I need to see. Mm-hmm. God, help me to hear what I need to hear. I pray that over my family. Mm-hmm. I pray that over the staff. And I pray this over this church. I prayed over anyone that I might meet. Again, it was just moments into this conversation that I knew this guy could give a rip about Jesus Christ and he could give a rip about salvation, but he is filled with darkness and this is an evil man. And there is something that turned in me. And here this gentleman who I met 5-10 minutes ago begins to intercede because he knew the same thing. And he just begins to pray. My wife is there, his wife is there, and a couple of their small kids are there. And my kids are off playing in the dark somewhere. And here I begin to really see this guy is bad news. And I couldn't, I'm telling you, this is the truth. I could not see his face. It was dark. And then my tone changes. And then I begin to really pick this guy apart and I begin to really become now not the evangelist, but the protector. Yeah. For my wife is standing there and I don't know where my kids are at this point. And here this stranger is who's really a part of evil. And then at the end, he's, or, you know, my tone has changed. The cop, now I'm the cop. The cop comes out in me. It's great. And then he shuts the conversation off and he sticks out his hand. I said, don't touch me. And he just kind of, I couldn't see his face, but he just kind of stepped back. I said, I'm not, don't touch me. Time for you to go. And man, there's moments that you know. Here, my kids are running around this place with this evil person standing. And then, I mean, I'm not saying he disappeared in a weird way. He just went off in the darkness not to be seen again for the night. And I'm just like, folks, there's times that we've got to be spiritually aware of things that take place. For there's kids running all over that park and it's dark. And my kids are running over that park and it's dark. And I could see this mom begin to shield her kids from this guy. Folks, we've got to ask God, God, show me what I need to see. Help me to see what I need to see. God, help me to hear what I need to hear. And Renee and I talked about it, and we were praying and just thanking God. Again, a reminder that there is bad and there is evil, and Satan is. I'm not saying that was Satan. I'm saying there was a very evil sense about this guy. And man, there are times that the cop in you or the protector in you has to show up and say, I'm not touching you. Time for you to go. Get out. And I've been talked to the couple I met just a couple minutes ago. I said, listen, I wasn't being in a way of sense of being rude. But he's like, no, we absolutely understand in full. We were interceding for you because we knew that this was a bad egg. And I don't want to take up too much time on that, but it was something that just took place last night, folks. And it was a great reminder for me that there is evil out there. And we've got to be awake, man. We've got to be very aware of what's taking place, man. Don't be blindsided. Don't be blindsided by evil, man. Over and over, God tells us to keep watch, man. Pay attention. Keep your eyes open, man. Guard your heart over and over. Keep watch. And then I can't get into too much, but he started going some stupid places. And then I just started nailing him with the word, and that was pretty cool. And then he shut up and disappeared, whatever. But we've just got to be awake. Got to be aware. Come on. Come on, a couple places this morning. That was just a testimony, and I just, man, take that for what it is for you, and just be aware, man. Come on. We're not, yes. Wow, Katie, you absolutely rock. We changed the verses, and she totally did that. I just love her. Come on. Psalms 107 and Psalm 108. All right, Psalm 107 and Psalm 108, and then flip to Hebrews 13, and we're going to get there and close there. But we are going to do spiritual aerobics, man. We're going to start Psalm 107, 108, and then we're going to put up a whole list of verses that we are going to flip to. If you have your iPads or your phone, good luck for you. But we are going to try to keep up if you can, all right? Because we are going to be flipping the onion skins here, and we're going to be going through page after page. Generally, do not do this, but I want to make this overwhelming for you in a sense that it's undeniable about what it is that you and I are called to give thanks to Him. To express our thanks to Him. Psalm 107 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." Now listen, I'm going to throw out some Hebrew words. I am absolutely no Hebrew scholar at all. I look it up in the concordance and try to pronounce it in my English way, and forgive me if it's wrong. If you are a Hebrew scholar, God bless you. I'm not, but I'm going to bring out, there's about seven very dominant Hebrew words talking about praise throughout the Old Testament. And then you start getting in the New Testament, and all throughout the New Testament, it talks about you and I singing. You look at singing in the New Testament. Somebody said, well, where is it in the New Testament we're supposed to sing? Listen, when you look in Mark 14, 26, Jesus and His disciples sang hymns. You know what hymns means? Songs of praise. Okay, Jesus and the top 12, man, they are in songs of praise. I think it's a pretty good idea to take that pattern. You see it in 1 Corinthians 14, 15. You see it in Colossians 1, 12, or 3, 15. You see it in Ephesians 5, 20. You see it in James 5, verse 13. All through New Testament, we are to sing and to be thankful. The Bible says those who are cheerful are to sing. Gang, there are moments that we are to come before Him over and over and sing to Him. And we get our biblical pattern of what we do when we congregate together, or what you do at home in your solo one-on-one private time with God, right from the Psalms. And it says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary." Look at this. When you know that you have been delivered from darkness, when you know that you have been delivered from the hand of the adversary, when you understand honestly what it is to be redeemed. I was once lost, hopeless, and broken. I was once absolutely a part of the enemy's camp. I was lost in darkness, but Jesus redeemed me. He paid the price to buy me back, that I can be in right relationship with God, that I will be forever in eternity in heaven and not hell. That's what this is talking about. And look what he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And this Hebrew word, give thanks, it's yada. That means with extended hands. You see this all through Scripture. With extended hands, we are to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And again, please don't misunderstand. I'm not telling you you have to do this pattern. I'm telling you that this is what you see in this church, and this is why you see it in this church. We're all called to give thanks. Praise with extended hands, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Psalm 108 says this, "My heart, the deepest part of who I am, and that which is on the inside, my heart is steadfast, it is firm, it is fixed, it is established, it is stable. My heart is steadfast, it is fixed, it is set, oh God. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises, even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, and awake the dawn." These are instruments. "And I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to You among the nations." Now please see this. All right, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises." And then verse 3, it says, "I will sing praises to You among the nations." This word is zamar. This word praise is zamar. It means with musical instruments. Okay, when you see this, every weekend we have musical instruments. And it is a biblical word, zamar, in the Hebrew says to sing praises using musical instruments. And then verse 3, it says, "I will give thanks to You, Lord." Again, this is yada, with extended hands. "I will, with extended hand, give thanks to You among the nations, and I will, with musical instruments, sing praises to You among the nations." Why? "For Your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and Your truth," this word truth, that means your faithfulness, or Your trustworthy, "reaches to the sky." It's unending. Man, come on, look at this. Now I'm going to put a list up there. Psalm 33. We're going to just go verse to verse in the Psalms, and it'll go kind of quick. I want you to see this. Again, it's all through the Psalms. It's all through the Old Testament. You can do a study on praise. You can do a study on giving thanks, and it would take you months. It's incredible. Come on, Psalm 33. We're just picking a few here. Psalm 33, 1 through 4. Sing joyfully for the Lord, all you righteous ones. Now look at this. Praise is becoming to the upright. What does this mean? What does the word becoming mean? Praise is fitting for the upright. Verse 33. Chapter 33, verse 1. Sing for joy in the Lord, all you righteous ones. Praise is becoming. It is fitting for the upright. It fits like hand in glove, sock on foot. I mean, it just works. It's what's supposed to be. If you try to put your sock on your hand, weird. sock on foot, glove on hand, praise fits for those who are upright. This is what this means. Give thanks to the Lord. And it goes through again, musical instruments. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Look at this. Verse 3 is huge. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Listen, there is a praise word called Shabak. And it means to shout. There are moments that you may find or hear somebody cry out the name of Jesus with a loud shout or cry out something in regards to being thankful. That means Shabak. That's a shout of praise. And then play skillfully. Gang, if you come to us and say, man, I just picked up a guitar yesterday. I want to be on the worship team. No. But this person really loves Jesus and, you know, their voice really isn't good, but they sing to the Lord and God hears their heart. Well, I hear their voice. So, no. I mean, there's gifts. Listen, I turn my mic off. You will never hear me sing. I'm not up front I don't know where Olivia got her voice. It must have been from Renee. But you don't hear me sing. And the great thing about all of us singing together, nobody hears the bad voice. We hear his and her voice. And we're pumped about those who are singing and leading us. Why? Because the Bible says that praise should be done with skill, man. With that would have skill. I mean, you may love the Lord and sing all your heart out and know in your living room that God hears you, but the neighbors are crying. I mean, come on. This is the deal. Look at this. I love it. Come on. Psalm 81, please. Psalm 81. I love it. And we do it week after week after week, folks. Come on. Psalm 81, 1 and 2. It says this. Sing for joy. Folks, there should be a celebratory sense to our worship and to our praise. There should be something that we are celebrating God and we are being amazed by him and thankful for what he's doing. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Rise a song and strike the timbrel. And it goes through the sweet sounding of the harp and blow the trumpet. And it's talking about, again, a celebratory thanks and praise. Come on, Psalm 95, please. We got to zip through this because we are running short. Wow, time goes quick. Come on, look at this. Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Again, come. This is an invitation. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Man, this is an invitation. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Listen, he invites us to come. Sing for joy. Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And this word thanksgiving in the Hebrew, it's tehillah, which means to sing songs of thanksgiving. Listen, don't confuse that with tequila, okay? Because you may sing after tequila, but it's probably not going to be worship. Don't confuse the two. This is tehillah, which is singing songs of thanksgiving. We do it week after week after week. And we do it on purpose. Come on, Psalm 98, please. Verse 4 and 6. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. I love this. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Break forth. You know, when I'm reading this, you know what I think of? I think of the Hoover Dam. And I think, what would it be like if the Hoover Dam broke and all that water broke free? And I look at this and I think I am called to shout joyfully to the Lord and to break forth and sing for joy and to sing praises. Folks, there should be a release in thanksgiving and there should be a release of who we are and our understanding of who God is and what he's done for us on the cross where we were at once desperate, broken, hopeless, and yet God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. there should be a release, a breaking forth, and to sing for joy and sing praises to the Lord. Again, it goes through the instruments. Now look at this. Come on. I want you to see this. Psalm 104, please. Psalm 104. I'm just trying to make this so crystal clear that there's no mistake. Verse 33 says this. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Please get this. This is huge. Because people will come, well, you know what? I know that I'm saved and I know that God loves me. I know that I made a decision for Christ. And he knows that I thanked him then and I'm good. I don't get that. I don't understand how when we really understand what took place and we understand his loving kindness, his faithfulness, his love for you, his passion for you, how he seeks you, how we understand who he is and what he's done for us, that we give him thanks one and that's it. It's like telling your wife you love her on the day you're married and say, well, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Yeah. that's at times how we look at this. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Man, if I breathe, I praise. Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If I'm breathing, I'm thankful. All the days of my life, and let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Come on back to Psalm 63, please. Oh, we're cruising now, people. Come on. Flip. Love it. Good luck on your phones. Try to keep up. Nice. Come on, 63 says this. I use this all the time. I love it. Verse 3 says this. Because your loving kindness is better than life. What a reason to praise. When you understand his loving kindness is better than life. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Please hear that. My lips. Folks, what is it that comes from your lips? Now I'm not asking what goes down. I'm asking what comes up. I'm asking you on the direction of going out. What is it that comes from your heart? So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift my hands in your name. I will come to a place to be overwhelmed and be amazed. And that what comes out of my mouth will be praise. And I'll come to a place to bless you. It's amazing that when we have extended hands and we see it through Scripture, the reason is to really bless him. And it is a sign of expression of giving thanks. It's incredible. Come on, Psalm 143, please. Psalm 143. I want you to see this. Come on. It says this. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Does that describe you? Are you so thankful and so amazed and come to a place to recognize where you were that you honestly can't get enough of being thankful? You long, man, I stretch out my hands to you, my soul. God, the deepest part of who I am longs for you. God, I can't get enough of you. God, I'm amazed by you and I thank you. And God, so much so that I stretch my hands out to you. God, and my soul longs for you so much so it's like a parched land, God. That's where we are called to be. When you understand and recognize who God is and what he's done for you in your life. Psalm 100, and then we'll get flying here. Come on. Psalm 100, I want you to see this. Because out of the seven Hebrew words of praise, there's actually 11, but seven are the top ones that they use over and over. Psalm 100 has four of them in one verse. And man, this is kind of like the whole sense of celebration, the whole sense of us being grateful and thankful and being amazed and how we express our thanks to him. And again, this is so you see the biblical picture here at Believer's Chapel and why we do what we do in our music and in our time of celebration and in what we do with the instruments and what we do. At times you'll see extended hands. You'll see people give a shout out to God. You'll see a Shabbat. You'll see a Barak, which means those who kneel in adoration before him. Now look at this, Psalm 100. Shout joyfully, Shabbat, joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now get this, look at this. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and we and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, here's where we go right here. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. This word thanksgiving is todah. That's a Hebrew word for praise and it means a choir of worshipers. Listen, enter his gates. with a choir of worshipers. Isn't it amazing that when we gather together on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning or a Sikh or a Wednesday night at Breakaway or any time that there are several of us where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst and we sound like a choir, man, a chorus of worshipers. And it's amazing because Brennan and Ed have this thing where if we're getting too loud and we're and our voices are the bad voices, he goes like this, and then Ed turns his voice way up to cover us. I'm just kidding. They don't do that. Not that I'm aware of. They might, but I don't know about it. Enter His gates with a choir of worshipers and His courts with praise. This word praise is the tehillah word, with songs of thanksgiving. Enter His gates with a choir of worshipers and His courts with songs of thanksgiving. Give thanks with extended hands. Give thanks to Him, yada, and bless Him, Barak, His name, kneel in adoration, in thanksgiving before the Lord. Gang, that's powerful. What an amazing, simple picture of what it is as a church when we get together. To come before Him and enter His gates with a choir of worshipers and enter His courts with songs of thanksgiving and with extended hands give thanks to Him and Barak and kneel in adoration and thanksgiving to His name. Gang, that's a powerful picture of what we do and why we do what we do here in this church. And man, this is what God says. This is what He says on how we are to come to a place to express our thanksgiving to Him. And I know, man, there's different personalities. There's all of that. And I get that. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying that all of us need to be amazed by Him and to express our thanksgiving. And a Bible pattern is through song. It is through singing. It is through instruments. It is through extended hands. It is by kneeling and bowing. And it is by all of us coming together as an amazing choir of worshipers. Gang, it's incredible when you have so many voices together crying out in unity to God Almighty in amazing thanks and a sense. We talked about this deep last week where it's not about us, but we know that God seeks those. God pursues those who will come before Him and worship in Him in spirit and truth. That is from the inside out, that our souls are amazed by Him and incredibly graceful to who He is. Now, come on. Hebrews 13 says this. I got 3 minutes. Come on, get this. Hebrews 13, right here, it says this. Through Him, then, let us continually. This word continually is huge. Over and over and over and over and over. Continually means have no stop. Now, that's not like every 10 seconds we have to give thanks. That's not what that means. That means we're not the, I thanked Him when I got saved and I'm good. This is what this is addressing. We are to thank Him and not stop. It let us continually, over and over, offer up a sacrifice of praise. And this word praise here, it means the act of being thankful with the use of instruments and music. Please hear this. Continually, over and over, offer up a sacrifice, an act of what it is to be thankful, to act out, to express that we are thankful to God. That is the fruit of the lips. Please hear this. Gang, at times we are all, or should be all, very concerned on what comes through our lips this way. Listen, with my leg injury, I have not been running and doing what I normally can do. So Renee, I don't want to gain weight, and Renee's very good with me on a diet, and it's fantastic. I'm very careful on how much sugar goes this way. I'm very careful on how much bread goes this way. I'm very careful that I don't hit my 12 Big Mac limit in one day, right? I mean, we should be concerned. And you hear so much over, I mean, there's diet this, there's diet that, there's this, there's that, and it's always so concerned on what passes our lips going in and down. And that is very important, but I'm telling you, over and over and over, more. God speaks more about what comes up and out than what goes in and down. What is the fruit of your lips? What is it that comes from your heart? Luke 6 says this. I want to show them that verse. 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the things bring forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth what is evil. For what? The mouth speaks that which what? Fills the heart. What passes the lips this way? Because that's what the fruit of the heart is. That's what the inner person really is. And gang, over and over, God tells us the fruit of our lips, that which should fill our hearts, should be praise. Now look at this. Praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks. That means to publicly acknowledge praise. That give thanks, to publicly acknowledge praise. That give thanks to His name. Gang, when you get this and you understand this, what the Bible teaches about from our hearts we are to acknowledge Him publicly, from our hearts we are not to be ashamed of Him, from our hearts we are to worship and praise Him, and from our hearts we are to act in a way to express that we are amazed by Him continually, over and over and over and over again. I'm talking day in and day out in your solo time with God, in your private time with God, and I'm talking about here on the weekends. I want something set up here at Believers Chapel that we come to church on purpose. We come to church as the church. Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. And we come knowing that we are going to join together as a family, and we are going to come together for the purpose to give Him thanks and to worship Him and to praise Him, and for the purpose of hearing His word, that it can rearrange our lives and our marriages and our kids and our teens. And we leave this place not the same because we were in the very presence of God and thanked Him and honored Him and acted out on our thankfulness publicly to Him. That which exits this way, what's the fruit of your lips, folks? What is the fruit of your lips? The mouth speaks that which fills the heart. You know who said that? Jesus. Jesus. Folks, do you understand what it is to express your gratitude and express your thanksgiving to God and Jesus Christ, who redeemed you and bought you back? And you knew what it is once to be lost, saved, desperate, and broken. And now you know what it is to be truly, marvelously, magnificently taken out of darkness and into His marvelous light, that we have an eternity with Him, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me. And there will be a day my faith will be made sight. And I understand the hit that Jesus took for me on that cross, the wrath of God poured out on Him that rightfully belonged on me. How are we not amazed? How are we not expressing our thanks the way God says to express our thanks? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Folks, this is one of those deals that we usually don't go verse to verse, verse to verse. I want you to be without question on why we do what we do here. And I want you to be without question on how you and I are to walk in amazement and to be able to express ourselves. And listen, I'm not asking your background. I'm not asking your past church. I'm not asking your past denomination. I'm not asking where you've ever been or haven't been. I have been on the extreme of one, and I have been on the extreme of other, and I believe God has us balanced. God has shown me so much different things from all the different churches that He's allowed me to be a part of for, 44 years now. All training for this, folks. Man, I want you to know why we do what we do, so that you can come to a place to maybe look at your background and say, have I ever been taught that? Have I ever seen it that way? Why don't I express myself like that? That's a serious question. Why don't we express ourselves this way? When you understand how great God is and what He's done through Jesus on that cross. Is it because past teaching? Is it because certain denominations? Is it because you've never been taught the right way? And I was upset because no one told me. And there is a freedom. And I can remember that when once I got used to it, once I thought they were past being loco, I just thought, man, there is something real. There's Bible to this, and there's freedom in this, and there's a release in this. And there truly was a breaking forth in my spirit when it came to praise and worship. And that set me free. I'm telling you what, there was so much to that. Because now I had a way to express everything that was within. I had a biblical way to express how amazed I was with God. And I had a biblical way to express, not worried about who's on my right or left. So many people can bring somebody to church. Well, they might be concerned. I may not raise my hands today because I brought my neighbor with me. If they knew maybe what God freed you from, if they knew the addiction that you once had, they knew the condition where you were, they knew the condition, if they knew all that God has done in your life and you're expressing your thanks to Him, I think they'd be okay with it if you'd explain it to them. What an amazing opportunity to witness. I worship this way because He saved me for an eternity, and He loved me. He put himself on the cross for me. How do I not walk in a place of being amazed? Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, man. Powerful, God. I love you so much. And I thank you for your word. God, I thank you so many years ago, 20 plus years ago, you opened my eyes to this through biblical teaching. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. God, I just want freedom, and I want people to walk in a biblical understanding of what it is to express our thanksgiving to you. And walking in that relationship, that up close and personal relationship with you, God, that we can't help but express, whether it is one-on-one in our home, whether it's solo, whether it's with the family, or whether it's here with the large family, the extended family, right here in this church. God, weekend after weekend, we come here on purpose to thank you and to honor you and to worship you and to praise you and to be amazed by you in all the different ways that you've shown us, God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.